Call the meeting to order, June 16th of the KPFA LSB regular meeting. And I'll have roll call. Okay, calling the meeting to order of the KPFA LSB for June 16th, 2018. And we will now take roll call.
Roll call, Adams, Sharon. Ahmad Anderson, requested, excused. Okay, Sharon Adams present. Marilla Arguelles?
Present.
Marilla present. William Campisi, ask for excused absence. Chris Corey. Chris Corey absent. Brian Crowell. Ryan Corwell asked to be excused. Christina Huggins.
Present.
Christina present. Chris Scott Olson. Scott Olson absent. TM Scruggs. TM Scruggs requested excused absence. Aki Tanaka. Aki Tanaka here. Ramsey's Tan Nichols. Is he on Zoom?
I'm here on the Zoom.
Hi, Ramsey's here. Carol Travis?
Here.
Carol Travis present. Andrea Turner?
Present.
Andrea Turner present. Tom Borges?
Here.
Tom Borges present. Carol Wolfley present. Me. Lisa Detmer asked for excused absence. Anthony Fest?
Here.
Anthony Fest here. Sabrina Jacobs.
She just emailed. She texted me that she emailed an request for excused absence.
Okay, Sabrina requests excused absence. Tim Lynch.
Present.
Tim Lynch present. Richard Walensky. Richard, guesses he's here. Steve Zeltzer.
Here.
Steve Zeltzer here. Quincy McCoy.
Here.
Quincy McCoy here. Okay. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 present. We have a quorum.
Yes, Steve?
Here.
No.
Yeah, that's what I was asking. I mean, I just... If you want an excused absence, can you just say what the reason is?
Okay. I want to make a motion that we accept the excused absences for Ahmad, William Campisi, Brian Crowell, and TM Scruggs, Lisa Detmer, and Sabrina. So I'm making a motion.
Second.
All those in favor of excuse?
Discussion on this. Yeah, I'd like to raise an objection. I think when you have an excuse,
people do not have to give personal reasons. They
I'm not asking.
I answered your question, Steve.
No, I'm talking about accepting the excused absences. No, we're having a discussion on whether to accept this. I'm just saying. I think that you know it's appropriate. That if somebody asks for excused absence, they just say, I can't make it, I'm sick, I have to go someplace, or whatever. Just, you know, if somebody just doesn't want to go for no reason, I don't think that is proper for an excused absence. That's all.
People do send in reasons, and I think it would take up a lot of time, my time and the body's time, for me to present, you know, somebody's going to a funeral, or someone is sick, or somebody broke their arm, or somebody. I'm not. That's not the way we're going to do it. So I would call the question.
Question's been called. All those in favor of calling the question, raise your hand.
What to count? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
All those opposed?
1, 2, 3, 4.
Abstaining? Nobody's abstaining. So this.
Oh, yeah.
call three quarters.
But he knew that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, we see calling
quite. Passes.
Right, so it passed.
It passes.
I was sort of waiting for Ramses to key in, but okay. So we'll move the agenda. So, yes.
Before we go any further, I have a point of order. It was back in January that the National Board gave instructions as to how to fill the vacancies, which are now three or four on this board. I sent an email a couple days ago asking whether the officers intended to follow through on those instructions. And then the latest development is that the stay that the court had imposed is lifted, so that there is no, there is nothing that bars or delays this board from following the instructions of the parent organization. So at this point, I want to ask for a ruling from the chair as to whether there's an intent to follow through on those instructions.
Yeah, actually, we will be discussing that. It will be on the agenda, but that would be under old business. We will be discussing that. So all those in favor of approving the agenda? Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So there's no...
we're LSB vacancies under old business.
Right. So
yes.
We'll put that down.
Eligible vacancies under old business.
Okay. May I also... okay, so... There's to be another item under... Actually, there's new business before you try to vote on the agenda.
Go ahead, Anthony. What new business?
What is it?
Well, we now have the program director job vacant.
Right. Well, let's listen to Quincy's report, and then we can... I believe he's going to address that. Yes, Tom?
Yes, I
want to give
that...
Wait, give the mic to Tom.
I have a new business item, which would be a motion in support of People's Park to be added to new business.
Thank you.
How about a motion regarding, so that we don't have to approve it in our agenda?
Yeah. Motion regarding People's Park.
Yeah.
And we'll discuss and approve okay, or not. Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Tom. Okay, a motion to approve the agenda as amended. Anybody do I have a motion?
I'm so moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Sharon, can you count?
Okay. 1, 2, 3.
I vote in favor.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 with counting Ramsey.
All those opposed?
3.
3 opposed. Abstentions? Seeing none, the motion passes. The agenda is approved. Have people have an opportunity to read the minutes from the last meeting?
14. I move to approve the minutes.
Do I have a second to approve the minutes? Yes, it was sent out. Do I have a second?
They're on the back.
Second, thank you. We have a motion and a second.
Turn it over.
And it is on the other side. Everyone has an agenda.
Here's an extra. Could you pass?
Okay.
There's an extra
okay.
one. If you need one, Tim?
You need one, Tim?
Yes, Steve. You need the microphone, please.
Under the minutes, the old business point 16, there was a proposal to have town hall meeting on multimedia that was discussed and proposed, and that is not on this. I think it should be added to the minutes. That's part of what happened at that discussion. There was a debate or discussion about what the town hall meeting should be about.
Well, we had actually extensively discussed what the meeting would be about, and that we also discussed having an additional meeting specific to the technology issue that you brought up. So the town hall is not centered and focused solely on that.
That's not what I'm saying. It doesn't mention that there was a debate at the meeting about what the topic should be. That's what I'm saying. No, I'm talking about on the town hall meeting. There was a proposal we made that there be a town hall meeting about multimedia and technology. And that was a discussion in that debate about the town hall meeting. That's all. I'm just proposing to be added to the minutes.
Yes, Sharon.
I think that Carol has generally made very, what I believe is appropriate summaries of what was approved, and she has never not been including discussions, because that gets into a lot of questions about what was said, and this is consistent with the past way the minutes have been done, which is that they just discuss the decisions. Yes.
Thank you.
Call the question.
Okay. The question has been called.
Okay.
Those in favor of calling the questions, please raise your hand.
Okay, I'll keep. One, two. Carol?
I was not here.
Okay, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, seven. Ramsey's? Oh, okay, I don't know. Seven.
All is opposed?
Oh, I lost Ramsey's.
Nobody opposed? Okay.
Okay, then the motion, if nobody opposed, we'll move forward.
No, but that was just to call the question.
To call the question, right.
Now we need
I know. I know that.
Okay.
I know that would be moving forward, I'm hoping anyway, if I'm reading right. So all those in favor of approving the minutes, please raise your hand.
I dropped Ramses.
I hope you didn't
raise
get
your
hurt.
Hand, and it's part of our policy that if you're dropped, it just happens.
I'm here. I vote in favor of calling the question.
Okay. Now, Ramsey's we're voting on approving the minutes now.
Okay. All those in favor of approving the minutes, raise your hand.
One, two. People over on that side, are you voting in favor of approving? Okay. Three, four, five, six, seven. I believe that was seven.
All those opposed?
One.
Abstentions?
Two. Three.
Three abstentions.
Four abstentions.
Okay, the minutes are approved.
Five
abstentions. The minutes are approved. And let the record show that Chris Corey just came into the room. Hi, Chris. And we'll move forward now with the KPFA manager's report.
Howdy. Personnel update. Unfortunately, we have lost some very key staff members. May 1st was the last day for Kat Brooks as a member of the Upfront morning broadcast. As you all have heard, she is now a candidate for mayor of Oakland. In keeping with our election policy, all programmers who run for office are required to leave our air the moment they publicly announce. Kat put in her leave of absence papers, and if her campaign fails, it offers her the opportunity to return to her co-hosting position. We just finished the process of hiring an interim co-host, and we're delighted to add energy journalist and activist Antonia Yuhas. Some of you may remember her, that she was a member of the Terra Verde show. Also departed from us is the Upfront producer, Lucy Kang. Lucy left at the end of May for China to visit with family for 6 months. She was with us for a year, but like many of the morning show producers, the job burns folks because of its stressful, unrelenting format that demands to be fed constant content, diet of content. We had an open hire for the producer position, and it was offered to Corinne Smith, who has been a reporter for the news department, done fill-in work for Upfront, and produced our State of the Union special broadcast coverage. Another big loss is the program director, Laura Privis, who after 15 years at KPFA's, her last day was yesterday. Laura was a secret weapon when it came to creating successful fund drives with her encyclopedic knowledge of premiums, the Pacifica Archives, and simply what works and what didn't work with our listenership. Along with her excellent editing skills, her departure will leave a significant hole that we'll never be able to completely fill. Many programmers depended on her good taste, honesty, and her shoulder to lean on. As PD of KPFA, an impossible, thankless job, she has been extremely dependable, passionate, and fair. Her leadership, dedication, and creativity will be missed. Yet, when one door closes, another window of opportunity opens. I've had a goal to lessen the PD's load by hiring someone specifically for pledge drives to wrangle programmers and keep the fund drives organized, stimulating, and successful. Of course, the perfect person for this is a development director, which we can't afford at the moment. But fortunately, a former KPFA subscription person, Brooke Caputo, who has been working part-time as a development director with some nonprofits, has agreed to come back and run our drives. When Brooke left subscriptions, the reason why we didn't completely collapse was because of the strong systems she had created that we still utilize today. With Brooke on board, it was easy to convince Kevin Carter to step in as interim PD. Kevin, who has been overseeing the music programmers, off-air partnerships, and website marketing and social media, will add administrating the troops to his job description. Fundraising. April 15th birthday membership drive focused on gaining new members raised nearly $37,000. After the drive, our total membership is now 16,312. Our new total of allies was up to 1,128. I'm going to check again on what the memberships are now after the spring drive totals finally come in. The spring drive, all the nonprofit stations in the market were conducting their pledges at exactly the same times. So our totals were a little less than usual. But thankfully, our donations picked up during the week after. Our goal was 620,000. Total pledge so far is 583,998. That's 94% achieved. And we're still getting mail from letters and stuff that we've sent out.
300 and what? I'm sorry.
583,998. Okay. let's see. So I just emailed this to Sharon. I sent it to you, and I sent it to you. The other, I didn't have the other address on here for the whole board. So you, if you can forward it to the whole board, would be terrific, so they can see the charts and how the money is spread out. Tech and operations. Our operations staff has held department meetings on improving communication, easing technical pain points, and expanding cooperative professional relationships within and outside the department. There has been a clearing out of the engineering offices and closets of obsolete equipment, opening up work spaces and storage space. There has been another network infrastructure upgrade for recording video of musicians in the performance space. An outside independent free assessment was made as to the state of the audio production facilities. Regular maintenance and pain points are being addressed. The continued deployment of staff workstation computers is underway, with half the station now being upgraded. Contracts with communication providers AT&T, Comcast, and ViaNet are slated for retirement, with Sonic.net being brought in to provide internet and phone service at a drastically reduced rate. ISDN lines were terminated, saving thousands in favor of IPDTL, a subscription service providing equal or better than service for just $2,000 a year, not $4,000 a month. Our soon-to-be-employed new phone system allows streamlined communications between on-air host and board operators, as well as improving the auto quality of callers. We hope to have it installed by the fall. There has been a purchase of a new audio mixing board and phone system for KPFB, and the development setup is in operation. New station rollout for the new studios and control rooms in the fall will reduce operational overhead and streamline productivity, as well as restore confidence in the department and the station, I believe. New personnel has brought tighter management oversight. The department is engaging in review of schedules to organize the most efficient and productive staff. Operations has set up weekly operation dispatches with communication changes in technology, as well as offer a space for staff feedback. sexual harassment training. Pacifica issued and requested that all permanent employees complete this training by, I think it was May, the end of May, May 18th, somewhere around in there. All KPFA employees have completed the 2-hour training.
Yay.
Sale of Nakapon and National Office. KPFA's business manager, Maria Negrette, has been overseeing the cleanup, disposing of junk, basically emptying 1921 MLK, also known as Nakapon. This building has been storage for both KPFA and Pacifica office for years. Mark Torres came up from L.A., Pacifica Radio Archives, and packed up a U-Haul truck to the ceiling, wall to wall, with old KPFA reel-to-reel tapes, cassettes, CDs, DVDs, whatever they could find. They also took 3 old reel-to-reel machines to facilitate the process. Now that the old tapes are gone, the old files have come back into KPFA's now dry storage room. Years and years of folios have also come back into KPFA storage room. Envelopes for premium shipments have been put into the phone room cabinets. Old equipment has gone to e-waste. Garbage has gone into the dumpster. National Office. In 2013, approximately 150 boxes of old work papers, invoices, and canceled checks, payroll, and personnel records that were brought from a storage unit to Nakapon. Now they have been taken into the National Office. These have been added to the all the other old records that they have there piling up in the National Office over the years. Maria has also been drafted into overseeing the archives of the Pacifica records to make heads or tails of what's in those boxes. And Pacifica will be renting back 1925 MLK from the new owners for $4,500 a month. CWA contract negotiations. This week we began our first round of discussions about a new contract. CWA and its members are interested in a raise since it's been 3 years since their last increase. I'm interested in gaining some savings in the benefits package with a slightly higher copay and employee payback for spouses. So we just started, so we'll see how this goes. Something new, the KPFA Movie Matinee. Da-da-da-da-da-da. So in partnership with the new Parkway Theater, KPFA will present a series of curated films ranging from documentaries to political or social justice themes, beginning with our first presentation on Saturday, July 28th, with All the President's Men. The ticket price will range from like $10 to $12, and there will be a $2 discount for seniors and students. So I'll see you there July 28th. All the President's Men. It's going to be fun. August, the film's going to be, we have two, so we have two now. So we have All the President's Men, and August's film will be Do the Right Thing, Spike Lee. Right. So it's going to be, yeah, this is going to be fun. And start. August 28th, you'll be, you know, you'll be plenty of promos and stuff. Pizza passing
around. I brought my own
pizza. Oh, did you? Oh, great. The new KPFA mailer, we're trying something new. If any of you have received our old, tired, sad, sadly ineffectual green and white pamphlet in the mail, you know what I mean. The high cost of those envelopes and the repeat mailings of said envelopes led to this new and cheaper way for us to reach out to donor base. We were nearing a break-even cost versus and reward for sending out the old ones, and it was time to do something different. Also, by simply using our style guide from the web designers, we were able to create a more colorful and interesting piece of content that hopefully is stickier with our listeners, and we'll get a better response than what we were getting before. And that's it.
Give it to somebody and get them to sign.
Thank you, Quincy. Would you time for how long should we allow for each? 2 minutes, okay? So do we have any? First, I'd like to say I got this in the mail and I was blown away by the graphics and the color, and it pops. And I was just great. It just like you get this in the mailbox and you know you got something special. So great job. So Tim.
Great job.
So thank you for that report and for all your hard work. I would like the board to send a, I think it would be appropriate if you guys agree that Laura Privis should get a some sort of commendation or message of thanks for her incredibly hard work and service to KPFA. I don't know if that needs to be a motion or something, but
I motion
that the KPFA LSB sends a commendation and message of thanks to Laura Privis for her service to KPFA.
Could you write that up, Tim?
Yeah.
Okay, we have a motion. It's been seconded. All those in favor of the motion, raise your hand.
Oh, should I count?
Could you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just
counted.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
She's trying to confuse me.
Okay. All those opposed? Abstentions? The motion passes. Thank you. We will do so.
I'm Pardon also.
Me? 11.
I'm also grateful to hear that Kevin Cartwright and Caputo are back. There's some talented folks that we've got stepping into that role. As a staff member, really pleased with the tech updates, computer updates, and the operations reports. So my thanks to you and to Antonio and the team that's doing that. It occurred to me while you were mentioning folios, and I think they're of great historic import, I wonder if the Bancroft Library at UC Berkeley might be the best place for them rather than a back closet of ours. And so I wonder if we might offer them and see if they're interested. I think it's a really important resource, and I'd hate to see them lost to time. And they would preserve them forever, presumably, if they were interested. And is that the last thing? Oh, and just an aside... you might consider the Manchurian candidate as one of you. Okay. Anyway, thank you, Quincy. From this staff member's perspective and this board member's perspective, things are going very well under your leadership, and I appreciate it.
Thank you, Tim. Next, we had Chris.
Good save.
I just wanted to make a couple comments about Laura. I've known her for quite a while, and she was actually the person who encouraged me to join the board. And so I've spoken to her often about her job, and there were two aspects of her job that she found most difficult and most trying. One was the fund drives and their increasing burden on her job, which was occupying more and more of her time. She took the fund drives very personally. When they fell short, she felt that she was to blame. Because she was the orchestrator and the organizer and the head of them, and she just took it very, very personally. In addition, I doubt she slept a wink during the fund drives. You know, she was very stressed out about them from beginning to end, and because of their increasing frequency, they were taxing on her, which is no doubt what led to her departure. The other aspect of her job that she struggled with was handling the music part of the job. She, towards the end, she expressed to me that she felt that it would be good to have a music director at KPFA, somebody who was responsible solely for that part of the job, because it was, once again, it was an increasingly taxing part of her job, and she didn't feel that she could commit the time and resources, her own personal resources, necessary to do that job. Moreover, you know, she really loves music, so she took that very personally, and I think both of these things kind of wear at a person over time. And anyway, I just wanted to express my appreciation for the job that she did, the sacrifices that she made, the hardship that she endured, and I wish her the best.
Thank you very much. And Steve was next.
Yeah, thanks for the report, and I'm glad that we're, you know, actually raising some more funds. I mean, we're right now in a boom in this economy, so people obviously have a lot more money to come up with. One question I was going to ask is, there was a fundraiser, a musical fundraiser, and I was wondering what we were able to raise on that. The other question is, I know that Kat has been given a leave of absence to run an election campaign. I wonder, I'm in favor of people being able to run. Is that the normal procedure, that if somebody wants to run for office, they get a leave of absence? That's a question I have. Then the other thing is on software. Is there new software in the finance office? I know that nationally there's been a problem of getting reports and that kind of thing. So I was wondering what the status of that is. And this Kevin Cartwright, I understand that's a temporary hire until a permanent director is hired. So on Laura Prevost, I mean, she put a lot of time, a lot of labor into that job. There's no question about it. But I, for one, believe that we need a program council. We need to have more community programming decided by a larger group of people. And there needs to be a relationship of what kind of program we want. I mean, a survey, what people would like to see, some way that we can get more input from the community of new programming and that kind of thing. So that's my view on it.
But, Steve, what were the questions? You had a couple of questions. The software's, yeah, the Great Plains, it's called. That's been installed, and they're very happy with the update they have. But then you have a couple other, what was the?
Does that Great Plains interfit with the national?
It's national thing. Yeah.
Okay, so it's part of the national software of accounting, so we can get all the software together nationally. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, what else? You had a couple other small questions.
How much did the musical benefit make?
Zero. Uh-huh. The guy who promoted the show lost money. But here's the good news. The UC Theater, who was a reluctant partnership in that because they didn't have any faith in KPFA, and they didn't want to do anything with us. We've been in discussions with them for a couple of years, not just for concerts, but also to have speakers come there and speak. And they never wanted to do business with me or Bob. So when this guy came in and brought KPFA along with them, they decided that they were just going to back off and see what happens. Well, we generated so much ticket sales that now they're very interested in doing business with us. Even though the promoter lost money, but he lost money mostly because he had all that big orchestra, and he had those guys in those nice hotel rooms, and he lost all of his money on the expenses that it cost him to put the band up. But they didn't care because they wanted to do this event, for us and for DACA. So that was the most important thing for them.
I mean, on the issue of like fundraising, I mean, one possible way is when you have concerts or things like that, streaming them. And, asking people to contribute or having it.
Well, that's a whole licensing deal. You got to get permission from everybody.
I think you have to get permission.
Thank you, time. Yeah. Okay, and the next person is Sharon.
My question is, you had said, Quincy, that there was 16,312 members. And then you gave a number of allies, and I was wondering if the allies are included in the total members.
No, I had them separated out for that.
Oh, so it's 16,000 plus another 1,000.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, that's great news.
Yeah, but the ally number is really embarrassing low, I think. I mean, we need to be somewhere in 4,000 or 5,000 allies.
Okay.
So,
well,
sustaining members that pay every month.
Yeah.
If we 17,000.
Yeah.
That's great news. 17,000.
Well, it's not so great. It's a nice number. It's a number that's equal to, say, KLW, what their membership is. But when we have like over 50, we've had over 50,000 people donate money to us in the last 3 years, right? So if we've only got 16,000 of them signing on, but they're just one-time donors, that's not what we want. We want membership. We want people to join and become sustainers. So it's on us to really work on that and try to get them to come around and really join the team.
So I just want to clarify what you just said. You've had 50,000 separate people donate over the last 3 years? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, that's amazing. Okay, and then the only last thing I just wanted to say was I did bring my envelope, too, because I wanted to just say it was fantastic. When it came in my mail, I was the same as Christine. I'm like, what is this? And it, it's the kind of thing when it's on your desk, you always know where it is so you can find it, and just thought it was really great. So thank you.
Thank you.
We have Tom next.
Yeah, yes, I was just interested in the quantity of folios that are proposed to be stored and how much physical room that they take up.
These are basically when we moved into the building, I took five or six of each one and put it in a separate folder. And the point, and I was going to bring this up anyway, the point of it was not to give it to somebody else, because every single folio is now archived electronically through Pacifica. The point of it is that if somebody comes to the station, they could be in boxes, it doesn't matter. Someone comes to the station and says, well, what about blah, blah, blah? Do you have a folio? We have them. That's the point of it, so that they're there for use within the station. If somebody comes in, they're in storage. They're in like three or five or six boxes on a high shelf that wouldn't be used for anything else, and that was the function of them. There aren't that many, but they're there so that we have them in storage if people want to find them. That's it.
Thank you, Richard.
So the average is five or six folios?
I don't remember how many
per issue.
It was 20 years ago. Yeah, 25 years ago I put this together so that we'd have stuff in-house in case people wanted them. And if somebody took one, we wouldn't have to worry about whether it was returned because we had more.
Okay, that answers my question.
Thank you, Tom. And we have Richard next.
Yeah, well, that was part of what I was talking about there, and that's why I wanted to make sure that they were at the station so that for archiving, deep archive purposes, people could come in if anybody wants them. Otherwise, they have to go through the process of going to Pacifica Archives, but it's not physically in your hand. I want to say that after a couple of months working with Antonio, there's been a major change in how easy it has become to get somebody to board op off-air interviews, to get the studio together, and Antonio and Brian have done a terrific job of tightening that up. That was a real problem for those of us who work off-air, and I'm sure Anthony has seen that as well. I would hope he has, because he works over there too. Laura's been great, and she's going to be really missed by all of us because she's been the glue. One other thing I want to mention that nobody's mentioned is that at kpfa.org there are five or six new podcasts now popping up, and I was working with Laura and with Quincy about a Best of KPFA podcast that would also go up, and I spoke with Kevin about it yesterday, and so it's basically you putting together that beginning thing, and then Kevin can start work on it. So that's a change that's going to be on kpfa.org. So we're actually moving ahead with creating an entire podcast realm on kpfa.org.
21st century.
I just want to quickly add to that, too. I'm really happy to say that the apprenticeship program has added three different podcasts to that to the group. So I'm really happy about that too.
Next we had Carol W.
Yeah, one of the things that is important, I think, in terms of community involvement at KPFA is the news department internship program. And they are doing a special training this summer for internships so that if you want people or you know people who are talented, who have any skills, or who are passionate and hardworking, who want to be involved in KPFA as community, the best way, I think, right now is through the news department training. And we can bring people from, you know, North Bay or South Bay to get that training. In a number of weeks, they commit a certain amount of time, but that's a very good way and to get people long-term. And I think we need to also be, in our outreach work, talking about the apprenticeship program. Their enrollment applications were lower this year, and I think we have to figure out ways to get the word out about the apprenticeship program, you know, figure out how it best works, maybe even divide up, you know, like some people may want to go into a tech stream and some people may want to go into a more programming hosting stream of their training. A lot of people think it's a really long time to make a commitment. So I think these programs are a great way to bring in community people who can actually contribute to the station. And Awesome. Thanks.
I was going to say that, you know, Laura and Mitch both came through the news internship program. So it goes to show you. Yeah. So but something about the apprenticeship program, you said that at the end, I wanted to say something else.
Low enrollment and that they had a little.
Oh, we have competition now, too. The apprenticeship program. Matt Martin over at KLW, who's leaving there, but before he's left, he started this thing called the Audio Academy, which is really the apprenticeship program, because he came out of the apprenticeship program. And so it's almost identical to what we do, except they have the San Francisco Unified School District, you know, bringing the kids into their program for them. So, yeah. So it's a whole, there's a whole different thing. So.
Maybe we should reach out to UC Berkeley kids.
Community College. Community College has an audio program.
Great.
To make that link.
Reach out to them.
Okay. Anthony was next.
Yeah, a few quick questions. As to that upfront job opening, where was it posted?
It was posted in the station, and it was posted, we put it on, even on Current Magazine. It was everywhere. We had about, I don't know, they probably got close to 25, 30 different applications for people. A lot of the people came from NPR-type backgrounds and things like that. We even had quite a few retired guys that came in for that producer's position that they were really overqualified for. But it was a wide-ranging array of people that came in.
Okay.
I wasn't on the hiring committee for that one, but I just knew that they had a lot of action on it.
What was the timeline on that? It seemed to come.
It was 2 months, I think it was.
Okay. Great. Thanks.
And we had Tom next.
Yeah, in relation to the news apprenticeship program that was just mentioned, is there intent to bring back the alternate Sunday night news in relation to that? And also I'd like to say that Lowell Bergman up at the university graduates a number of investigative reporters every year, which is a program we might want to consider tapping into also.
Thank you, Tom. Okay, hold 1 second. We have to change an attachment. Ramses?
I can hear you.
Ethereal world out there. And we have Sharon. Yes, why don't you pass those? Those are Sharon has put together a leaflet that I think is great that she's sharing. That I'm sorry. I'm looking at Sharon because I'm holding you next to her. Okay. This dyslexia. And Sharon, did you?
I just had a quick question. I was just wondering, Quincy, how many days this spring fun drive was total?
The spring was a long one, so it was 3 weeks.
21 days.
Okay. Did you have something, Tom?
Oh, catch him right there.
No, I was just looking for Quincy to answer that question.
Which one?
The investigative reporters, and is there intent to bring back the alternate Sunday news at some point?
Okay, thank you. Did you?
Well, the alternate Sunday news was done by a bunch of volunteers, so it's totally up to them.
Well, is there intent to recruit some volunteers to do that as per this?
For what? I'm sorry, I didn't hear that either.
To bring back the alternate Sunday news.
I didn't hear it. Sorry.
No.
Okay, can something like that be implemented?
Yes.
Thank you. Did you have something, Carol?
Yeah, I wanted to speak to. So, Tom, I think it's great to talk about, you know, there's these people out there, like, but what we really need is people to go to them, to take the applications to them, and to get people to fill them out and send them into the station. So if you know people or you know of people who can help with that, that, you know, we are spread so, everybody is spread so thin. So if you know of people who can, who are interested in applying for news internships, that would be great. And I also want to say, I mean, you can't just take volunteers and stick them into a slot. You've got to develop really a program and so.
Training and everything.
Train them.
Else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Do we have any more questions for Quincy?
where do I find the applications, I guess?
I just passed them around.
It's one right in front of you.
It's on the leaflet.
Oh, it's in front of you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Well, thank you very much, Quincy, for giving us a very thorough report. And if nothing else, then we'll move along to the public comments. Thanks for coming, Quincy, and answering all our questions.
Thank you. Woo-hoo!
Okay, we have opening for public comments now. Do we have any? Susan Da Silva?
Come on,
grab a mic, Susan.
No, I don't really have a comment. I just didn't like it somehow
noted in the minutes or something that I've been at every meeting for, I don't know, a lot of months. And even though I'm not sitting with you guys.
I will make a note.
Carol will so make noted. A note of that. Thank you very much. Any other public comments? Is it public or do we want the advisory cab report then? If there are no other public comments, we'll proceed with the cab report.
Thank you. I'm Marianne Thomas representing the cab. And it is my pleasure, actually, to be here and be a part of trying to, you know, increase listenership, et cetera, for KPFA. So, one of the things, yeah, thank you. I'm really sorry to have my back, your back. you're not getting my back. What? I'm going to move to the front. Quincy's back. Yeah, big money. Ooh, better mic too. Wow. Reminds me of getting in the street. Sorry, I just did a, I've had the mic in the street and it's fun. The cab is working very hard to, on outreach and to help KPFA. So one of the reasons I'm here on a monthly basis is so that you guys can hear what we're doing. And if you have any recommendations or any input into what we're doing, any suggestions, etc., we would really appreciate it because we want to be a team. We have our survey almost ready to go for the CNA. Last year, it was much easier than previous years, it's my understanding. And so it now has 10 questions, including a couple of questions about Pacifica. So when you get the chance to look at it, take a look and see what you think. If anyone wants the old CNA report, we emailed it out to everybody, but if you feel like you did not get the CNA report from last year and you'd like it, please email a request to cab.kpfa@gmail.com. So if you want to send us an email, we'll send you an electronic copy. There used to be a on the web, but I could never find it. So if I can't find it, you probably can't either. It might be there. We've lost two cab members. They're terms ended. Karen and Robin, thank you, termed out. So we are down to four members. So if anybody has any recommendation, you know, anybody they think might want to join the CAB, please, again, outreach. We did get a cart that's being read, asking for membership. So thanks to Grace for that. We've been doing outreach, music festival. Grace is trying to work to get more outreach in Hayward. Anything else? And we're going to get a SurveyMonkey cart out as soon as we finalize it. And I'm not sure what I've just gotten, but we're going to be at the Juneteenth with outreach. There's going to be a big outreach effort at the Juneteenth. Hopefully a lot of people, you know, a lot meaning more than one, will be helping with that. So thank you. So are there any questions or comments for the CAB?
I wanted to know if an update on the Berkeley Community Media Center. I know they were closed. We had there was a rep on the CAB from Berkeley Community Media, and what's happening with that? You know, the community access station here in Berkeley.
It's not on the CAB's agenda.
I thought you had a member on the CAB from that. I mean,
Carol,
a previous
are you familiar?
Meeting.
I'm not familiar.
There was a proposal to do some project with Berkeley Community Media. Grace was going to do a project, but I think, and I know there Berkeley Community Media is also moving, so I don't know where things are with that. I wanted to add about.
Well, I'm not. I have another question. So do you have a calendar? I mean, as far as outreach, I mean, it's good that you're doing outreach, but it would be good to have if you have a calendar of the different events that there'll be outreach at. For example, there is going to be a Juneteenth meeting and rally in San Francisco with the city workers against racism on the 19th. So if there was a calendar where people could put up events that people could, if they're interested in doing outreach, they could go to that and see what's happening, that might be useful.
Thank you for that. We are trying to set up a calendar at the moment. That is on the agenda, and we've been working on it for the last couple of months of trying to get a calendar and working procedures. So, yes, that is on the agenda to do that.
Thank you. Carol?
Yeah, part of the responsibility of the LSB is to do outreach and to do fundraising. So I think one of the things we're trying to do is figure out how to do that, how to get people involved to do outreach. And we are finding that it is very challenging to set up a table, pay for a table, be at a place all day, you know, get down a canopy, get down the table and all that. So one of the ways that we're beginning to want to expand our work is to make up like 5,000 program guides that are in newsprint. So they're small, they're inexpensive, and to give them to people going to events and organizations to distribute. So somebody can, you know, write and say, oh, I want to pick up 100 or a couple hundred program guides and take them to my event. So I think we're looking more at less having people tell people on outreach what to do, but rather take on responsibility for outreach. And we are trying to build a list of people who are involved. I think the phone room situation is good. It's a lot better and more solid. The KPFA event outreach is more solid, but
the community events are the part that we need to work on. And in the spirit of that, I'm going to ask Marianne if you'll pass those around, those flyers for Juneteenth. And if you know somebody who would like one, you can pass it on to them.
Thank you. Steve?
Yeah, I was. Are you on the CAB committee, Carol? Okay. As far as outreach, I understand there was an outreach committee. There used to be an outreach committee. Is that gone, or do you work with the outreach committee? I mean, because I've gotten talked to people on the outreach committee previously. So what is the relationship?
That's, in a sense, being worked out, because the CAB was never responsible previously for the outreach committee. I mean, what was her name that used to run the outreach and have the tables?
Corrine.
I'm not good with names, I'm sorry. When she dropped out, Carol has picked that up, which is why Carol sounds like she's on the CAB. She's not on the CAB. She doesn't have a vote, but she does come to meetings, and you're all invited to our meetings because they are open for input from people. Also, you're invited to get on the outreach list to help with outreach. I'm sure that that's, you know, so Carol currently is maintaining the email list of outreach people, and for now, Carol is the point contact for outreach, and the CAB is coordinating with what we would call the outreach committee, which would be Carol and all of that. So if anyone, I'm sure I can say this for Carol, if anyone is interested in becoming very active and taking over a lot of responsibility for the outreach, it would be much appreciated, because it definitely needs someone to kind of head it up, and that currently is Carol. So if you know of anybody interested in kind of helping, you know, get the name to Carol or to me or to the CAB, and we'll coordinate that, because we really do feel, we, the CAB, feel that the outreach needs to be improved and that the CAB's input to the outreach needs to be improved. But we are trying to figure out what our resources are, and we just lost two of our major CAB members who were really good resources. I mean, that, yeah. So we're down to four, and three of us are very new. So.
Well, thank you. We can always use more people.
Yeah.
And Carol W., did you?
Yeah, I have a motion.
A motion?
Yeah, I have a motion, and the reason I want to make this motion is to clarify a little bit. So what happened was that the Community Advisory Board has regular meetings, and they offered to host a meeting for the Outreach Committee at their meeting, in their meeting space, and that was wonderful. And people came and talked about outreach there from previous members of the Outreach Committee. The Outreach Committee hadn't met for 2 years. So before that, so what I would like to do, the Marianne was talking about the CNA, that's a community needs assessment report that the CAB does every year. But in addition to that, as part of the guidelines for CABs, the CABs are authorized to do additional work for the station. And I would like to propose a motion. The KPFA LSV authorizes the KPFA Community Advisory Board to do outreach work for KPFA, including helping with community events.
Do I have a second?
Second.
We have a motion on the floor. All those in favor, raise your hand.
Aye.
10.
All those opposed? Abstentions?
One
abstention. The motion passes. Thank you. Thank you very much. It was. We appreciate all the work that you do, and we appreciate you coming here and filling us in on what's going on. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, we're moving right along. We're on the Treasurer's Report. And Sharon.
Okay, I feel the need to stand up. Okay, so hello, everyone. As a treasurer, I stand up. First of all, thank you for electing me treasurer. This is my first treasurer's report, and unfortunately, I really don't have any information. I do have an email, yes, from Maria, because I did request from Maria some information, and this is what she emailed me, so I'm going to read it. Okay, we already know we've had an upgraded accounting system from Quincy's report. So with regards to our upgraded accounting system, we're up and running. However, being shorthanded of experienced accountants, National Office has yet to do some key entries to our general ledger, aka the books. I, that's Maria, know how to do them, but I, Maria, have not yet had time to take them over. I'm going to make a side note here, probably because she's been doing a lot of work on the knock-upon in addition to her regular duties. Okay, going back to Maria's email. Also, due to the lack of experienced accountants and not having the new report writer ready, I would have had to hand input all of the entries for all of the months into an Excel spreadsheet. So she didn't have time to do that, and she's also on her way to a previously scheduled vacation when she was actually writing this to me. So I don't have anything to report on the KPFA finances, but I would like to make some statements about the audit committee, which I listened to and I just think is relevant to our discussions here in terms of the finance. So, okay, the auditor, Regalia, spoke at the audit committee, and he, the fiscal year 2016 audit is done, and the 2015 and 2016 audits are done, and he gave an opinion that it was a qualified opinion. He stated that the IRS is pursuing an investigation into Pacifica. He stated that
it's part of her treasurer's report.
No, this is the report on what's going on with the PMB.
It's part of our finances.
I mean, we should have a report from the PMB on what's
It's always so nice to be interrupted by people that,
You're out of order, Steve.
I don't interrupt.
It fits into our financial situation.
You're not giving a report from San Francisco.
I'm out of order.
Okay, I'll just summarize it. I'll stop. Red ink is flowing throughout the organization, quote unquote, from the auditor. We're more in debt now than we were then, and that's as of 2016, and that doesn't take into account the new loans. That's the short summary.
Thank you. Are there any questions for... Okay, go ahead, Carol.
I'm really concerned with what just happened.
Yeah. I'm concerned, too. Yeah.
I'm concerned. This is a point of personal privilege. As secretary... And will you time me, Sharon? As secretary, I've received notices from people about that they are not comfortable coming to these meetings because of... what just happened, the kind of things that just happened. Sharon was authorized to make a report. She is making her report. The finances of KPFA are totally affected by the finances of Pacifica. Our building is mortgaged by Pacifica. And when the chair says that someone is out of order and they keep talking, that does not allow us to have meetings. And I would like to ask that this body, if the next time that somebody does not respect the chair, that they be asked to leave the meeting. If you cannot respect the chair, you need to leave the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Sharon was next.
I'm timing myself, and I just would like to say
Thank you, Carol. Yes, I really was not speaking for very long in total. I think my total treasurer's report was probably less than my allotted 2 minutes that I'm allowed to speak, so I think I should have just been allowed to finish. And also I want to point out that the person that interrupted was not recognized by the chair and yet continued to speak. So, in effect, you know, diminishing the role of the chair and not respecting the rules of this body.
Thank you. Richard?
Yeah, there's one other element. And I've been watching you. You don't interrupt men. You only interrupt women. And I think you need to deal with that yourself. Really, seriously.
Thank you.
Well, on that question, I have interrupted men on a point of order. Because what this was a point of order. This was supposed to be a report from the KPFA Finance Committee. Not a discussion on what the Pacific is doing.
Thank
and that's
you.
The point of order that I raised in relationship
and
to this.
And to make an
attack on what's going on at Pacifica, if you're going to talk about, for example, finances, are we going to cut the budget here because there's red ink coming nationally? Is there any discussion about that? What are we doing about the budget at KPFA if there's this massive, if there's a massive budget cut?
Stop like looking at me and yelling at me.
Why are you yelling?
Asking question.
No, should I get in and yell at you?
Okay.
Is that how you respond?
Okay. Here's the point, and I would make this point of order, is that you called a point of order. I stopped you. I recognized what you said, and I told her to go on, and you would not stop. And that is the point that the people are making here. If the chair calls a point of order out of order and says the treasurer may go on with her report and that it is integral to our finances, what is going on at Pacifica, then I made a ruling and you would not respect it. And that's the point. And I have noticed what Richard said as well. You seem to interrupt women way more, if men at all. So do we have any more questions about, yes, Richard?
Yeah, one other thing. This is something that I noticed I do, a lot of men do. This is something that happens in our society. We need to be aware of it. Because I used to interrupt women a lot. And I wasn't even aware I was doing it. And I'm just saying, Steve, you have to think about these things. I agree that, okay, point of order, all of that. And raising your voice toward women like that, it's something that men do in this society. We need to deal with it. This is an issue that involves every single one of us. So please, think about it. Please think about it.
I appreciate that, Richard, in particular at this point in time in our whole society. When we're trying to deal with this issue, it's quite relevant. And we're supposed to be able to deal with this in a progressive way. Thank you very much. So, yes, Carol?
I would like to make a motion that if anybody is not able to respect the rulings of the chair and to operate by Robert's Rules of Order, if they are not willing to respect the rulings of the chair and continue speaking beyond what the chair has said, that they be asked to leave the meeting.
Motion's been seconded. On the motion, all those in favor, raise your hand. Could you count, Sharon?
I think that was 10.
Can you repeat the motion, please?
Could you repeat the motion?
If anyone is not willing to respect the rulings of the chair, and continues talking, that they be asked to leave the meeting.
So we have 10 to what are online? Do we have Ramses and?
So how does Ramses vote?
Do you have a vote, Ramses, on this issue?
Oh, I'm concerned about the rules of order. I would abstain on this issue.
Okay. So we have 10-4. We have how many abstentions? Two abstentions, and those opposed, and to oppose, the motion passes. It's hard to do something if you can't have order in a meeting, so I think it is very vital that we decide with each other on rules of being civilized and listening to each other. That's the treasurer's report. Do we have any further questions for Sharon with a plethora of information that she gave us? Yes, Andrea.
How much money do we have? I was waiting for more of the report and how it intersected with the whole Pacifica. So I don't know if you were able to finish your report the way that you have it written.
Yeah,
you know?
But I we should be able to have her finish the report, and then we can have more questions.
Okay. I don't have any additional information. Maria said she was going to actually get me that information, but she is on vacation, and, you know, she has had a lot on her plate, so she did not get that to me. So I don't have any additional information about Pacifica, I mean, about KPFA.
Thank you. Richard?
Yeah, I was going to raise this. At this point, is there somebody here from the national report?
We'll have the reports from the that's actually next.
Okay.
Pacific National Board reports. Yes, Steve.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have any problem if you don't have the information. You just started as treasurer. That's not the question that I was raising.
We understood.
Wait a minute. The question is, you know, going on to other things that aren't part of the KPFA report was, to me, a serious question, because I could talk about many, many different things, but if you're supposed to get a report on KPFA, that's what the report should be about. That's all.
Thank you. Go ahead, Sharon.
Well, I understand your point, Steve. I really don't appreciate you directing these comments to me, by the way, but I understand your point, and I just was including that because I thought it's finances, and I really didn't have much to say, so I thought people might be interested, since I took the time to listen to the entire audit committee, which was an hour long, that I might just give a short summary that really was not anything nefarious about my thought to do that. I actually thought people might be interested, and then you attacked me verbally.
Thank you. I think we should move along to, did you have something else to say, Richard, or should we move? Let's move along to our Pacifica National Board Director reports. And thank you.
So, is that loud enough? Yeah. Okay. The Finance Committee met on Tuesday, and since I attended that meeting, I can report out what happened. The fellow from Regalia, the person who did the audit, occupied quite a bit of the time of that meeting. In fact, the majority of it. And I think the most relevant stuff that came up in that meeting dealt with the audit, which is, I think, a pretty compelling document. I read through, it's a lot of pages, so I read through as much of it as I could before that meeting. It's a draft copy at this juncture. I think there's a few small tweaks that need to be done to it, and then it's going to be released on Tuesday, is my understanding. That's actually the filing deadline, I believe, that was set by the AG. That should be, I don't know if it's public at that point. It probably is, but it certainly is something that we could release internally, I'm sure, at that juncture. Since I'm not a member of the audit committee, I believe the audit committee suggested a couple of small tweaks to it. Those tweaks aren't part of the draft copy that I have, so I can report out some of the stuff that was in there, as far as releasing the actual copy of it, I prefer to wait until the final draft is completed. I guess maybe I should attempt to field questions on this, if there's some questions, rather than just blabbering on and on about what was in it.
Okay. Anthony was first, and then we had Richard, Sharon. Yes. Did you want to say something, Carol? Yeah, point of order from Carol. Okay.
I was thinking that Tom should give a report, and then I should give a report, and then maybe all of the
should
be opened
That's
up
fine.
Rather than
That's fine.
Piecemeal.
That makes
no
more
problem.
Sense. You want to give your report now then? Carol, you just gave them. Oh, okay, Tom first. Go ahead.
Carol can go first. You want to give the mic to Carol?
Absolutely.
That mic gets around.
Okay. Am I on? It doesn't sound like it's on. Now it's on. Okay. Okay, a couple of things. One is it's very difficult to be on the PNB and to be a fully responsible member, because the PNB operates as if each of us is supposed to be an executive director. and each of us is supposed to read everything and analyze everything and then have critique everything and then bring to you everything, and then you can critique everything, and then you can take it to the members, and then the members can critique everything. But so it's a bit overwhelming, and I actually do not feel fully qualified to be in the PNB because I think it's too much. But that said, so actually the audit report was filed, I understand, yes. And in summary, I would say that the situation with us is that every 2 or 3 weeks, Pacifica runs through a narrow crack and almost collapses and gets to the other side, but it's a bit insane. However, that being said and that being true, there's a lot going on that had not previously gone on because we have a executive director who is a professional and who is doing a comprehensive look, not just taking into account what comes before him in a moment of madness. He tries to step back and look at everything and get his arms around everything. So that's good. All right, so I'm on the audit committee. I have not been to hardly an audit committee meeting because I'm also on the strategic planning committee, and they have constantly been in conflict. And because I wasn't on the audit committee at first because of the delays in our elections, I was behind the curve to start with. And so when I have attended audit committee meetings, I'm really not informed the way the way an executive director should be. So my sense of the audit is not complete or helpful. The sale of the building closed on Friday, that Nakapon, and the Department of Labor is investigating us because of our pension situation. An attorney has been hired to deal with that. A financial committee, a financial organization has been hired to replace the CFO. It's NETA, which is the National Education Telecommunication Association, which is a 40-year-old organization which deals with public communication, and they service about 30 stations across the country, both as financial managers and also managers. They have different departments. It's a big staff. It's a big organization, and they have a month-to-month contract. And it's going to be $15,000 a month, which is quite a bit less than Sam plus two senior accountants who left plus wages and benefits. So it's about a $10,000 a month savings. So it's just begun. And so we will be seeing how they're doing and so forth. They are also very experienced with CPB, and so that it's a really smart move to get them. The way we got them is because Tom Livingston actually was at one point chair of one of their committees and so was familiar with them, but there was RFPs to many financial organizations and so on, so this came back through a process of asking for many RFPs and settling on this. There is an auditor working on our pension plan, and has been working since March. And there has been a legal consultant, lawyer being hired to help with dealing with the Department of Labor. Sam had estimated that and we don't know if it's accurate, but the audit firm should at some point get a sense of it, that the KPFA and KPFK both owed about $200,000 for the audit, and that all the other units, including PRA, owed about $50,000 each. So that's 200 and 200 is 400, and 4 times 5, so it's about 8, actually it's about 750. Yeah, anyway, so that's a lot of money we don't really have, although there has been some money set aside, and there is some money left over here and there from various things. The loan, the bridge loan has been is being paid off by the Nakapon sale. The call to have a release of the FJC loans will not be met because there's a non-disclosure clause in that loan. Although there's a summary document that has just been released, and I just sent it to everybody. That's what I was doing during one of your discussions because I just got a hold of it. I remind people that it was extraordinary that we got a loan at all, that Pacifica is not exactly known as a good creditor. And anyway, so I imagine their decision, you know, I don't know why they wanted a non-disclosure, but I could make up a bunch of reasons that would sound credible to me, but I won't bore you. Let's see. There's something I'm forgetting. The election. The Department of Labor has said that we have until June 30th to get a third-party administrator hired, and there are RFPs out for that, and there are a couple of candidates that are also being currently being looked at. And there is RFPs. And I don't know if that's the right language for that when you're looking for a person, but for a national election supervisor is out, so that process is underway also. I think now I've remembered everything that I had to say.
Thank you, Carol. We'll hear from Tom now.
I have very little to add to Carol's report, except that I wanted to make everybody aware that Nancy Sordana, the chair of the PNB, has managed to accomplish turning down the friction significantly within the PNB meetings. And we've managed to pass a number of issues to try to move forward. So Nancy has developed her meeting skills, and we're starting to move forward.
Thank you. Steve was next. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Tim was next. I had this. Got to read my own writing here.
So I guess I have some questions about all of this. And one big concern I have is about the loan documents not being released to us so that we can't know what's happening. And I would like to make a motion that the KPFA LSB request to see the terms of the loan in executive session despite the non-disclosure agreement that is within them. That's a motion.
Do we have a second? Okay. Yes.
I think WBAI did some kind of similar motion at their last LSB meeting. Is that correct?
They did. I have a copy of it. Okay. Actually, Carol had a motion that she was going to make that as a friendly motion that's complimentary to your motion that you're making.
If you've got a better
you want to
wording
make that motion,
for
Carol,
it, please.
That includes
it.
That?
Okay.
Could. Used some of the language.
Okay.
He can read it.
KPFA LSB motion, June 16th, 2018. Whereas in March 2018, Pacifica Foundation Inc. took out loans reported to be in the amounts of. Actually, will you read it, Tim?
Yes.
They're going to read it.
Okay. So this whole thing is the motion. Is that correct?
Okay.
Whereas in March 2018, Pacifica Foundation Incorporated took out loans reported to be in the amounts of $500,000 and $3.7 million for the stated purpose of settling a lawsuit brought against Pacifica by Empire State Realty Trust for WBAI transmitter rents, license fees, and related costs to pay Pacifica expenses. Whereas at least one of the loans was secured by encumbering a building located at 1929 Martin Luther King Jr. Way, Berkeley, where the KPFA FM 94.1 radio station is located. And whereas there are credible reports that the IRS and Department of Labor has begun investigating the Pacifica Foundation for failure to fund its pension accounts, and that ERISA violations will trigger an automatic default on the $3.7 million. Be it hereby resolved that the KPFA Local Station Board requests that the Pacifica National Board direct the interim executive director to prepare and distribute by June 22, 2018 to each Pacifica Local Station Board the following documents with identification of any material that requires confidential treatment. The terms and conditions of each of the loans, including terms related to collateral, interest fees, payment dates, and amounts, and including any deeds of trust, promissory notes, or other associated documents. An itemization of the use of any loan funds to be expended to date, including escrowed amounts. The terms of the sale of the Knockupon building that formerly housed the Pacifica National Office, including any leaseback agreement that allows the National Office to continue to use some or all of the Knockupon building. As much as possible, we request that signed documents rather than or in addition to summaries be provided. The PNB is further encouraged to have the IED prepare a similar but non-confidential version of the report that can be posted on Foundation sites. I think this is a much better, more thorough motion, and I withdraw my motion. And
do I have a second?
Would second this one.
Thank you. Discussion. Yes, Steve.
Yeah. First of all, I mean, since the resolution was prepared in advance, I assume, I think it would have been appropriate to send it to everyone on the board here so they could have a chance to look at it.
It was prepared this morning. Why are you looking at Sharon?
I'm looking.
You need to stop addressing. You can address that to the chair.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm making the point that a resolution like this was prepared in advance. It should have just been sent to the board.
It was not prepared until this morning.
Well, it's available to email. The other question is, well, for another point I wanted to make is, I'm for transparency, and I'm for finding out where the loan came from and that kind of thing. But I would like to add to those people who were in favor of bankruptcy. If we're in bankruptcy, a judge would be making these decisions. There wouldn't even be a discussion. The judge would make the determination. So let's be clear about what bankruptcy is. The judge would make that determination with the creditors. So, but the other question in regard to this is, and this is a concern I have, and I raised it earlier with our report, is that, you know, we have to start cutting our expenses. I agree with that. There are some serious problems with the expenses. And I don't hear from any of the board members who were supporting this resolution the concern about cutting the expenses at KPFA because of the financial crisis. That is a problem that I'm concerned
about.
You're
not speaking. Okay. Point of order. Go ahead, Tim.
I don't think that the discussion of expenses cutting or any of the other, you know, what theoretically could happen in bankruptcy is germane to the discussion of the motion. And so I request that we focus on the motion.
Thank you. I put myself on this deck, too. I don't know how many people actually read the missive that went out that Carol sent out to everybody, but, you know, it's our building that is, you know, mortgaged for this loan. It's KPFA's building that we stand to lose. We have a lot of skin in this game, and we want to know what's going on. I understand that there may be non-disclosure agreement for the FPC loan, but we don't know anything about the other loan. I don't know if there's a non-disclosure agreement on that one as well. I would like to know from our PNB directors. Is there, Chris? Do you know? Do you know, Carol?
Are you referring to the friendly loan?
Yes. No. Yes, the friendly loan.
The friendly loan, I believe, was paid off through the Nakupon sale. So
that it's not paid off yet, though, right?
I believe it
is. Is it? Okay.
Yes.
But we still want to know the terms. Okay. Was there a non-disclosure?
I don't believe so.
Carol says no. So thank you, Carol. I appreciate that. And it was an eye-opening email that I read about the audit saying that we lost slightly more than $2 million in 16, and that the auditors turned Pacifica's unaudited loss of $0.8 million into more than $2 million. I mean, there's some real dire issues here, and I think that we need to understand exactly what we're working with and what the actual figures are, because there has not been transparency, you know, with what the PNB has been doing on this. And I understand what Carol said, too. There are some elements where you can't tell everybody everything, but I think there are certain elements that we absolutely should know, because it's our right as a local station board to know so. And Carol has her hand up. Go ahead, Carol. I was letting her, because she's a director. She was going to answer.
It's okay.
You're behaving as if we're withholding information, the PNB is withholding information. And actually, there are not balance sheets. There are not cash flows. There are not, I mean, the condition of the processes and connections between each of the stations and the archives is not, does not permit knowledge of any of these things. So, I mean, what is going on now with the system putting in place a system that, right, the what's it, Great Plains, the accounting system that links everybody, is an there's lots of steps to take a big picture look at everything that's wrong and get arms around it. And a lot of the information is simply not known. I just say that.
Thank you. What I was speaking to was that what is should be known is the terms of the loan, which were written up in its documentation. So I think that's the key element. And I had Carol next, and then Richard, and then Anthony, and then Tom.
Yeah, I had a question. And a possible proposal for a substitute of language in the part that says, whereas there are credible reports that the IRS has begun investigating the Pacifica Foundation for failure to fund its previous pension accounts and the ERISA violation will trigger an automatic deficit default on the $3.7 million loan. So is that a will, or should that be changed to may?
Here's something that is a belief, okay? And some information, and you can take it any way you want. The FJC, which provided the big loan, which turns out the big loan, has not called in default on any loan that they have given ever. I had thought once that they called in a loan once. Lots of loans are in default. There's lots of times when you're technically in default and where you can be called in, but you're not called in unless you're called in. They had a station in Idaho that for 3 years did not pay any of the payments on anything, and they did not call them into default. So there may be some technical things in the documents that allow for a default, but FJC did not give Pacifica a loan because it was going to make a lot of money or because it's a fun group to deal with, but because they're in favor of public radio, and they think that Pacifica is a valuable place to have survive. And so it is John Kriegler's assessment, and I think some of you know him more than I do because you've been around here more and dealt with this longer, but my understanding is that he is an attorney who has dealt with Pacifica for decades and has always been respected by everyone, whatever the position they come in. And he has said that FJC has not once called a loan in on default. So, yes, that may be correct, and I, you know,
yeah, there was just one small addition, and that's that these particular default provisions, we knew in advance that there were a number of them that we were not going to be able to meet. And so just prior to voting on this particular this particular loan, the PNB requested and was granted a waiver on a number of these provisions for a certain amount of time. I can't remember whether it was 90 or 180 days right now.
It's 18 months.
Was it 6 months?
No, I think it was 18. Wasn't it 18 months?
No. 18 months is when the first interest payment is due. It was either 3 months or 6 months. In order for us to...
I think it was 6 months.
Yeah, I think it was six. So, you know, it will cut... For this period in time in which we find ourselves today, the default provisions wouldn't be acted upon even if there were basis within the loan for them to do so. Now, whether what Carol was speaking to is whether they'll do that afterwards. I share her conviction that they're going to be extremely reluctant to act upon them even afterwards. But for the intervening period, we signed off on that. It was actually written into the loan, so they are not capable of acting on those.
That's great. Thank you very much, Chris.
Yeah, it was my understanding that they'd wind up. In fact, I just had this exchange with Sharon. Wind up raising the interest rates at a certain point, but she brings up the idea that maybe they could sell the KPFA building, which is a huge concern. Is there any, I mean, could that be happening?
You're the only one that's mentioned it, Mike.
Yeah, I haven't heard this, but in addition, hamstringing a loan's collateral, hamstringing the borrower's ability to pay is not something a typical lender would do. I mean, if I were running a business and they foreclosed on the property in which I was running that business and kicked me out, then I would no longer be capable of generating revenue, which would make it impossible for me to repay the loan. So I would entertain serious doubts about them foreclosing.
Okay,
the
but
property.
raising the interest rates,
that's
is something...
a certain possibility. Yeah.
Okay, because that had been mentioned to me privately elsewhere.
And Anthony was next.
Yeah, several questions. I think it was Carol who said the Department of Labor was investigating Pacifica regarding the pensions. Like, that's the federal Department of Labor, right? Or not state?
Federal.
Okay.
There's not a lot of public information about that at this point. It's just happened.
Another thing, maybe I misheard you, but did you say that the foundation owes $750,000 for audits?
I said that the pension, there's a separate audit of the pension funds than of our general books, because those are two different books. And the pension fund is being audited. And so in that discussion, I said that Sam, and there is an auditor working on it. There's somebody who's hired and working on it. But Sam had said previously that his guesstimate on how much is owed to the pension funds is $750,000. Two from K, two from A, and 50 from the other units, you know, the other stations plus PRA. And that's guesstimates. And it's a very complicated situation because you cannot make contributions if somebody's no longer employed, but there's money owed for people who were previously employed. So it's a very tricky thing to, even once you figure out what the money is, of how to deal with it.
Thank you, Carol. And Tom was next, actually. Oh, go ahead, Anthony. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
For Chris, could you refresh our memories about that document that has just been filed or is to be filed with the state attorney general? No, document.
Which document? I'm sorry.
You said there was a document to be filed on Tuesday with the state AG.
Yeah, that's the audit. It had a deadline of Tuesday, and apparently it's already been filed. I guess the edits were sufficiently small that they made them, and it's already been done.
So give us, remind us of the background to that, please.
Okay, so the attorney general required that they gave us an extension for the audit, which was until June 19th, next Tuesday. And I, from what I gather, the documents have been filed in that extension already. So the deadline was met. So now we move on to the next audit.
Okay, we had Tom next.
Yeah, I just wanted to make it clear that the executive director has hired a specialized pension fund lawyer who is has evidently communicated with the federal pension authorities and is proceeding to move in that direction to keep us from assembling any additional penalties. And also, I wanted to make it clear that apparently John Kriegler is donating his services to help us get through this bottleneck.
That's great. Thank you, Tom. Tim was next.
So I'm glad to hear the 2016 audits have been filed in time for the AG. Is there a similar deadline for the 2017 audit, which we are now told is that the auditors are not going to do, that they want no part of it? Do we face a similar or any deadline on those? That's the first question. I have some more.
Yes, August. We're not going to make it, we've got to hire a firm, and I'm not on the audit committee. I mean, I am on the audit committee, but I'm never there because I'm on the strategic planning committee at the same time. So I know they've been reviewing the companies that have asked. So I don't know if at the last meeting they hired somebody or not, maybe. I think the last meeting was all taken up with the 2016 audit. So I don't know if they made a decision, but the audit committee is trying to work on this. This is another example, in my opinion, of bottlenecks in our structure. I mean, I don't know why an executive director couldn't hire a audit firm.
We have Andrea was next.
I had a follow-up.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So that
Jen.
Was just one of a couple of questions that I had. I'm sorry. There's been some question about how to fill vacancies on this board. One of the questions that I have about this situation is we're supposed to have a national election supervisor, right? We're way behind. If we're going to follow our bylaws about how we're going to fill vacancies, there's an election that's supposed to come up. What happens if we don't have a supervisor in place by this June? So you're confident that we will have that we'll be able to follow our bylaws and have an election this year? Relatively. Okay, so the answer was, for the record, was yes. So,
Andrea was next.
Yeah. I was concerned about the pension plan and the monies. Let's say, okay, so we're talking about 200,000. I mean, do we have that? I mean, how do we pay for that? Here locally. I mean, you know, how do we generate this? And that's why I wanted to hear your report to see how we intersect with the PMB and what the plans are as related to how we have to bounce out and come up with more money after we just heard the manager say that we're down and bringing in money. How do we intersect with this in terms of generating monies? We don't know what Great Plains is going to show us, you know, in the end. So I guess we have to get prepared for this because there are other areas here, not only with the pension plan and the loan monies and stuff. We're talking about big time money. And so I'd like to know, we're just barely making it in terms of paying staff now, and we got to follow and catch up on pension plans, building plans, and the threat of just all of, we're still hanging in limbo. So I would want to know if we need to have like a serious all-day session on budget. Or where we are, or how to have a proactive approach to this.
That's something we could get. We could get a committee together for something like that if we wanted to be proactive. I have a stack.
I don't know. I'm just raising questions because it is serious right now. Thank you.
And we had next was Sharon.
Okay. Well, my question was going to first be about when the. This is the audit for 2017, and it is due in August of 2018, and that's a requirement by the Attorney General, not by the creditors. And they may not grant another extension. I wanted to say that also there... apparently was $1.1 million of restricted funds, restricted donations that have been made to Pacifica as a whole, and that $640,000 of that have been spent and are unaccounted for, and that's an extreme violation of rules for nonprofit organizations because nonprofit organizations have a duty to their donors to honor the donations made to a nonprofit corporation, and when a donor makes a donation as a restricted donation, that is only supposed to be used for those specific or restricted items. And apparently the auditor did find that $640,000 have been spent, and they can't track it at all. And so also, I just wanted to note that the net assets, and this is in 2016 as of the fiscal year 2016, was a negative $4.5 million, and that although Pacifica, in terms of its 2016 report, had more cash on hand, according to the auditor, that was because they're just simply not paying their bills. So, you know, if you don't pay your bills, you do have more cash on hand. So I guess what I'm trying to say is, we don't know if the KPFA building will be sold, but it is the asset, one of the easiest assets to be attached and sold if the loan is called due.
Thank you, Sharon. Carol W. is next.
Carol Travis, you spoke about the elections, and do you have a sense of the timeline of that? Like, because, you know, we were supposed to hire somebody in March, then we start in June. So I'm just wondering if the idea is that we will have the elections done by December? Yeah.
She
says she responded
with a shrug.
She does not. Thank you. Okay. So this motion is still on the floor, and we're still kind of in discussion about the motion, but we're also discussing other things. But I did have a friendly amendment to the motion, and that was to say, and that ERISA violations may trigger a default on the $3.7 million. So I want to change will to may, and as a friendly amendment.
Do I have a second? On the friendly, do I have a second? So all those on the amendment to the motion who are in favor, raise your hand. All those opposed? Any opposed? Any abstentions? We have one abstention. The motion passes, so the friendly amendment is added. We can go back to the discussion on the motion, and Steve was next on the stack.
Well, I think it's important that we also look at the amount of money that's been saved by the executive director in Pacifica. And it seems like nobody has, you know, looked at that. On the antenna, on the cost of the accountant, these are big savings for Pacifica. So I think that needs to be pointed out and added up, because there have been significant savings by Pacifica. But one of the concerns, so that's one issue. The other issue is, I mean, one of the problems here that we have, and it has to do with our functioning, is that the Pacifica National Board has not recognized our treasurer. And that raised the question. We don't even have an officially recognized treasurer. So we're having reports of somebody that's not been recognized by PNB. But I do think there's another aspect to this, and the amount of money that we're spending on lawsuits. And I would make an amendment to this, that we also ask for an accounting of the money that's being expended to pay for the Campisi versus Pacifica lawsuits. I think that that's completely appropriate, because I think it could be, who knows, tens of thousands of dollars, which is coming out of KPFA and Pacifica. So that's my amendment. I'll write it down if you want.
I would ask that we talk about any individual lawsuits from here in executive session.
That's an amendment.
Right.
Yeah, this is a public...
Okay.
So I make an amendment. If there's a second.
Okay, so we have another amendment for the verbiage of the motion on the floor. It's been seconded. All those in favor of the amendment on the motion, raise your hand. Wants to read the motion again?
Yeah, please.
Could you please? The amendment to the motion, rather. Right. The amendment to the motion.
Well, you can continue the discussion until I write it up.
Since we're discussing things while he's writing it up, I would say that there are a number of lawsuits. So if we're going to ask what's being spent on lawsuits, I think it would be more appropriate to make it an umbrella of all the lawsuits rather than one single lawsuit, because we probably should know that information about how much the PNB is spending on various lawsuits for all the stations, for the entire organization. So... you give it to Carol, please. So I would make a...
We should discuss it.
So what do people feel about that? So, Carol.
Read the amendment.
I can't read it.
The KPFA hereby asks for an accounting of the Campisi versus Pacifica Foundation. That's what it says. That's what it says. That's what you wrote. I read the whole thing. You meant lawsuit.
On the amendment. I have no problem with that, a friendly amendment of getting an accounting. But let's remember, brothers and sisters, that we asked here of our manager of what lawsuits there were against KPFA. Do people remember that? Do the board members remember that? We asked him what lawsuits there were against KPFA. Yeah, well, we are being sued, though. And he said, I can't say what the lawsuits are here at KPFA because it involves personnel. Okay, so, I mean, frankly, when you have lawsuits, they're personal lawsuits, they're financial lawsuits. So there are many, many different kinds of lawsuits. But I do think, since a member of our board, who apparently he believes is acting for the majority of the board, has filed a lawsuit against Pacifica, it's very important that we find out financially how much that's costing KPFA and Pacifica. I think that's an important issue.
So just a point of order that if KPFA is sued, it is Pacifica that is sued. It is not KPFA as an individual entity. All the lawsuits that have transpired are towards the umbrella organization rather than an individual station, whereas some may be triggered by an individual station. The lawsuits would be generated towards the umbrella, the organization of Pacifica, so it would not be individualized that way. And opinion or not, we did not engage as a board in this lawsuit. That is an individual person that engaged in a lawsuit. So just a point of order. And I had Sharon next, and then Carol.
I would like to speak against the amendment because we that worked on this draft, and I mean maybe including Tim, we're focused on the loans. I think if somebody wants to make a motion to find out what is being expended on the lawsuits, they should bring their own motion and make it separate. Personally, I think the loans are a separate issue from the lawsuit. There's so many lawsuits. When I've been in Pacifica only a few years, I've just been constant lawsuits one way or the other. People are constantly suing. It's sort of like a just, you know, there's a low level of expenditures for lawsuits that always seems to be going on. And I don't think it's relevant. The loans are what's new, and the loans are what I personally want to know about. And I don't particularly if somebody wants to bring a motion on the lawsuit expenses, I might consider that as a separate item. But right now, I really want to focus on the loans.
I agree. Even people who are directors currently have sued the Pacifica Foundation. If you look on, it's on record. So go ahead, Richard.
Yeah. My first thought was, sure. But I think Sharon speaks to the fact that this is a separate issue. And regarding Campisi, it's ongoing, so we don't even have a total at this point. And there are many, many other lawsuits, some of which can be public, some of which cannot be public. And so while I agree in principle with what you're saying, and particularly with the Campisi lawsuit, even though I might agree with him, I find the entire idea of lawsuits going back and forth to be very, very problematic, no matter what. And I don't know what to say about it. I'd probably wind up basically just backing off and not even voting on something like that. But I kind of get your point. So I don't know. I don't think it's part of this issue. As a separate issue, I don't know what to say about it other than I kind of wish that the issue didn't arise at all.
So I had put myself next, and then Tom. I'm against amending the motion to add something that I don't think is germane to the loans element that we're really focusing on, as Sharon said. And Tom, it's your turn.
Yes, two things. I believe it was at the last PNB meeting or maybe the one previous to that that the executive director was asked the cost of the Campisi suits, and he did not have that information immediately available, but he made a commitment to get that information put together and make it available. The other thing is the fairly newly hired pension lawyer has also committed to make a report once he confers with the feds on where we're at on that. Make a report to the PNB.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate that. And I skipped over you, Chris. I'm sorry. I put Anthony on here, but I skipped over you. Oh, okay. Next was Carol. Okay. We could come back to Carol. We had Andrea was on my list. Oh, I didn't. I'm sorry. Okay. And Carol, go ahead. W.
I want to speak against this motion because I think that it's really important if we're going to talk about one thing, talk about the loans right now and what's happening with the finances of that. And we do have a section to talk about on the agenda, the whole issue about the seating of filling of vacancies.
Thank you, Carol. So all of those, we're now voting on the proposed amendment to the motion. Anthony, did you want to say something first?
Yeah, I think I've been skipped over a couple times, so please look
Sorry.
My way when making a stack. Maybe this is not timely at this second, but as to one of the whereas clauses in the main motion, I'm puzzled by where it says there are credible reports that the IRS has begun investigating. Well, our national board members should either know that. I mean, either you know it or you don't. I mean, what credible reports? I'm not sure what that means.
I can answer that. It was on the audit call, and you can listen to it. It is actually, if you want to listen to the June 10th audit committee meeting, that the auditor states that on there, that the IRS is looking into the and it can impact on the CPB. Okay, knocking at the audit pensions door,
oh,
basically.
So,
yes.
So it's not a credible report. It's a fact.
It's credible. Yes. I think Sharon and then Steve.
Okay. Sometimes the attorney brain just kicks in. And I listened to that audit committee report, and I've listened to the actual section several times, and he kind of phrases it in, he always puts the word if. If the IRS does this, then if that. So he doesn't actually state it, but he implies it so strongly. And then I've been, when talking with other people, I've had confirmation, although I can't say the official confirmation. So that's why I wrote credible reports. I mean, I actually wrote that phrase. So I don't know if any of the PMB members here are willing to go on the record and say that. You can listen to the auditor, and you can hear what he says, and you can decide yourself whether it's credible or not.
Steve.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think, again, this is an issue of clarification on this motion. And I also raise that I don't even have a copy of this. You know, I can't even read what you're talking about. You know, you can hand me a copy, but the fact of the matter is we haven't been provided copies of the resolution.
We don't always.
I have to read it, yeah, while I'm talking. Yeah, I mean, that's.
Go ahead.
So I'd make a motion that we table this motion to the next meeting, and we can clear up these questions in this motion. There's a motion to table.
Is there a second for them on the motion to table? Second. There's a second. I would speak on that the statement that there are credible reports is credible. That would be what I would state, is based on that. And I think that that there's many motions, many resolutions that are brought before this body that are not passed ahead of time in electronic form or the form to all the members. I see you, Carol. Just wait. So I don't think that is a valid complaint about it. It did not get put together until just before the meeting, or there would have been. So, yes, Carol. Carol's called. Thank you. Well, the question has been called on the motion to table that particular motion. We have a lot of motions going on here. So on the motion to table, those in favor to table, raise your hand.
Two.
Those opposed?
Eight
opposed. Is there anybody online on Zoom that made any?
Ramses, would you like to vote on the motion to table?
I vote no. No to table.
No to table.
No to table. All those abstaining? We have three abstentions. The motion to table passes.
The table
fails. I'm sorry. There's too many motions going on here. Motion of the ocean. So, yeah. The motion.
Second.
Oh, okay. The question has been called on the amendment to the original motion. All those in favor of calling the question, raise your hand. We're calling the question, so we're stopping all the back and forth discussion on it. On Steve's amendment. Those opposed? Abstentions?
Abstain.
Two abstentions. So the motion for the question passes. Now on the motion itself. This is Steve's amendment. So the amendment to the motion that Steve made, all those in favor to that amendment to the motion, raise your hand. All those opposed? All those abstaining? There's three abstentions.
Abstain.
Four abstentions. So the motion to amend is defeated. Now, can we vote on the main motion? We'll have to eat someday, all of us are kind of like. So. Yes, the May. I can read it if you want. That's okay. It's the motion of the ocean. Whereas in March 2018, Pacifica Foundation Incorporated took out loans reported to be in the amounts of $500,000 and $3.7 million for the stated purpose of settling a lawsuit brought against Pacifica by Empire State Realty Trust for WBAI transmitter rents, license fees, and related costs to pay other Pacifica expenses. Whereas at least one of the loans was secured by encumbering a building located at 1929 Martin Luther King Jr. Way, Berkeley, California, where the KPFA 94.1 radio station is located. And whereas there are credible reports that the IRS and the DOL has begun investigating the Pacifica Foundation for failure to fund its pension accounts, and that ERISA violations may trigger default on the $3.7 million loan, be it hereby resolved that the KPFA local station board requests that the Pacifica National Board direct the interim executive director to prepare and distribute by June 22, 2018, to each Pacifica local station board the following documents with identification of any material that requires confidential treatment. The terms and conditions of each of the loans, including terms related to collateral, interest, fees, payment dates, and amounts, and including any deeds of trust, promissory notes, or other associated documents. An itemization of the use of any loan funds expended to date, including escrowed amounts. The terms of the sale of the Nakapon building that formerly housed the Pacifica National Office, including any leaseback agreement that allows the National Office to continue to use some or all of the Nakapon building. As much as possible, we request that signed documents rather than or in addition to summaries be provided. The PNB is further encouraged to have the IED prepare a similar but non-confidential version of the report that can be posted on Foundation sites. So now on the original motion, all those in favor, raise your hand. All those opposed? One opposed? Is there anybody on Zoom that...
Ramses.
I voted yes.
He votes yes. So that's 13 yes. And all those abstentions... We had any abstentions? Nobody abstention. Okay. So the motion passes. Thank you very much. I did want to ask the body, do you want to take a break to grab something to eat, or we've been kind of marathoning here, so we don't have a lot left, but... We have old business, new business, and then adjourn. Okay, what do people want? What's the body's desire for the break? 20 minutes? Is that agreed? Okay, we all agreed. 20 minutes. Thank you very much.
So what I usually do is just hit pause so that you get still
1:53. We will see you guys back. Ramses is back. Okay.
I'm here. Thanks.
You have to crawl through my box.
So I would like to, first of all, I don't think we do this enough, but I really want to thank our people who are PNB directors for the job that they do, because it is a hard job. Thank all of you for all the meetings you look at and that you attend. And it's hard, I know. And we do appreciate you, Chris and Tom and Carol. Thank you very much. And thank you for your reports. And Sabrina, who is not here. Thank you, Sabrina, wherever you are. We do have something that is really under new business, but if nobody objects, Tom has asked that we look at his resolution on People's Park in case we get bogged down with other stuff. So I said I have no problem with it, and if nobody else does, I'm going to go ahead and let him do that out of order of the agenda, if we're all fine with that. And thank you. Go ahead, Tom.
Okay, the motion is whereas People's Park has existed for almost 50 years thanks to the efforts of Michael Delacour and the larger Berkeley community, and whereas People's Park represents a vital piece of Northern California heritage, be it resolved that the KPFA local station board urges Berkeley city officials to seek historical landmark status for People's Park.
Do I have a second? Do I have a second? Second? Thank you. And on the discussion, yes, Carol? And Sharon.
I do not disagree with the sentiment at all. I'm concerned that the LSB gets turned into something where we raise political issues and where we could get into something where we start debating positions on something. And I think it's outside the scope of our mandate. But, you know, so I probably will abstain.
Next, we had Sharon, Marilla, and then Steve.
Yes, I don't oppose the motion, but I also personally have been working with the people around the Shell Mound on 4th Street who are also seeking historical protection. So, you know, there's a certain part of me that's like, well, if we're going to do it for that one, then we have to do it for the Shell Mound. And I kind of go back to where Carol is, that it just gets too complicated and too much for this LSB. I mean, so I also will likely abstain for that reason, not because I oppose it, Tom, but just so that you understand. And my final comment is I also want to note for the record that this motion was not handed out prior to the LSB meeting.
Thank you. Marilla?
Because I think it's coming up right now because of the voracious and unlimited greed of the university to create money-making housing for its students, and this is an attempt to prevent them from building on that site. I'm very much opposed to all the buildings going on, particularly since I live across the street from the urban tract that's the last uncontaminated agricultural experimental station. I think we need to focus on that, and I think as a political body, I want us to do that. But I think that if we're going to say that we want things to be set aside as historical sites, we need to make sure that it's going to have some maintenance. That place is a wreck right now because it's not cared for, and I think that we should get involved with our communities, but mixed feelings about this motion because I think it's too simplistic and it's not specific enough about what's going to happen.
Thank you. Steve was next.
Well, I support this motion, and I think that actually Berkeley KPFA should support this efforts of Mike and other people to keep that land public. That's what we're talking about. And I think, you know, we've had this. I know a lot of you weren't involved in it, but there was also a discussion on a previous board about whether or not the board should support a boycott of Honda when the Honda workers were on strike. And that issue was stalled over and over again, you know, because there happened to be a person on the board who did not really want to support the Honda workers. And it's happening right here in Berkeley. So I have no problem taking a position. The real question, though, is what are we going to do about it? Because if the UC actually tries to move these people out and make it a apartment building or whatever, it's going to lead to a massive confrontation. And I do think we need education. We need a campaign to stop privatization of public lands. That is critical, and that's something KPFA and Pacifica can do in helping to educate the public about why this is a bad idea and why it should be opposed. But this motion, I think, is at least says support their efforts to keep it public.
Thank you. Tim?
I have to agree with Carol T's thing that it's outside of our scope. I also work for an organization that is chaired by the Chancellor of the University of California, Berkeley, so I will have to abstain for professional reasons.
Thank you. Carol?
Carol was next.
Yeah, I have a couple concerns. One concern is part of our mission is to cover news and to bring up topics on the air. So in a sense, it doesn't, I would be more open to some kind of wording that would have to do with that KPFA encourages the investigation and covering of this, of issues related to privatization of commons, or including People's Park and also, you know, preserving historic sites. I also have a problem mentioning an individual's name there who I would have trouble voting on it with that, because there's a lot, I don't feel like I have enough information to be able to talk about Michael Delacour's work with that.
Richard?
Well, I would oppose that because I don't think that we should involve ourselves with content on KPFA. It will be covered because these things are covered. I will abstain, and the reason for that is because there's a lot going on in this country, including concentration camps, which are now being occupied by parents and children separately. We're dealing in a very terrible time, and picking out a single issue, such as what's happening there, which I don't know enough about anyway, to me is kind of problematic, and we could get caught up in political arguments and in all kinds of sort of useless amendments to this, that, and the other thing, and we should focus on Pacifica and KPFA, and that's my feeling. But, you know, we're living in a time when things are very scary, and there are those people who say we're in 1933 to 34 Germany. And to me, that is the single most troublesome thing going on right now. And it scares the crap out of me, and that's where my head is, and not on whether People's Park or whatever should be a historical site. That's all.
Steve. Okay. The question has. Yeah. The question has been called. Those in favor of calling the question, raise their hands. All those in favor of the motion, raise your hands.
Three.
All those opposed?
Two. Three. Wait a second. Hold your hands up, people.
It fails.
Six.
The motion fails. I would like to say, how many abstain? One, two, three abstentions.
Abstain.
I would like to say four abstentions. Okay. I would like to say I think that Tom's motion comes from a really good-hearted place, and I think that we should try to figure out something else that we can do since the motion didn't pass. Yeah, yeah. Yes, Carol?
Tom, is that being covered on the news? Are you helping to get that to different programmers who can cover it?
I'm not aware that KPFA has has dealt with this issue at all on the air.
Maybe that's the way to pursue it, is to try and talk to Steve or talk to other people who, you know, want to bring up this issue. Like if there's a newsworthy thing, to send it to the news department.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to go back to the regular order. So we're going to go to old business, and this would involve the legal situation. So we're going to have executive session now. So anybody who is not delegate to the board, please leave.
I have a question. Why is this an executive session?
Because it's litigation involved.
No, but we're not involved.
Oh, well, then we don't have to follow the court's order of anything then,
yeah,
right?
Well, I mean, we, the KPFA board, is not involved.
I've made a decision. Go ahead.
I think there are legal issues related to this.
The PNB has stated that the PNB could you wait just a second?
Yeah.
The PNB, certain faction of the PNB, have brought it into stating that the court does apply to us. So there are some vagaries here, and it does involve litigation. So we're going to have it in executive session because it's a litigation issue.
Okay. We, the board, have not voted to support this lawsuit by a board member, an individual board member, William Campisi. Okay, so
you do not have the floor.
I do not have the floor.
No, you don't. I said we're going to talk about this.
You recognize me, and I'm just making a point about the issue.
Should we ask you to leave? Because we're talking about the board may ruling. This is an executive session because it involves litigation.
We're not in executive session yet. There was a motion to go to executive session.
But I am the chair of the board who just ruled that we're going into executive session, and you're arguing.
Well, I challenge the ruling of the chair.
Go ahead. You can do that. Challenge the ruling of the chair. So all of those in favor of challenging my ruling, raise your hand. Three. All those opposed?
Okay. Hold your hands up, people. Just keep on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7.
And any abstentions? 2 abstentions. So the challenge is not sustained. So there have been a lot of things.
So we need to stop the recorder.
Yes, we do.
The LSB discussed pending litigation as it relates to filling vacancies.
Thank you. Okay, so we can go back on the record now.
No.
We voted on that. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Filling vacancies is what it says.
On the LSB.
Yeah, it should be specific. Yeah. On the LSB.
Yeah,
okay.
I didn't have it, but I'm putting it in. Oh, no, it does. Sorry, sure.
Never mind. All those in favor of that report out, raise your hand.
Oh,
it's unanimous.
Oh.
Great. Okay. So,
Ramses, did you have a say in this?
Yeah, it was a yes.
It was a yes.
Yes, we're unanimous. That's unanimous. Great. Okay. So we go back on the record now?
Yes.
Okay.
So you read that now.
That wasn't recorded.
Oh, that wasn't proper to record. But that's all right. It's recorded. So go ahead.
My bad.
It's all right. It's recorded. Let's go forward.
No need to repeat it.
No, you need to repeat it.
Okay. Anthony, you wanted to make the other motion that you had brought up.
Yeah, if we are in new business now, I move that in light of the recent resignation of Laura Privis, that the LSB create a hiring committee to fill the PD position.
Do I have a second? Thank you. On the motion, could you hand that to Carol, please?
The LSB does not do the hiring. They create a pool of people to be considered to be hired. and do some interviewing of it. But I think what we should do is I think we should table this, and people should think about whether or not they want to be on the committee, and they should send into the closed list, and that between now and then the committee be formed, but between now and the next meeting the committee be formed, and then the committee start working.
Since I'm not clear on how the process works according to our rules and procedures, it sounds like what you're saying, Carol, is that Quincy will list the job, and that our role then will be to review applications once they come in. Is that correct? Okay, so
a committee
will do that. So there's nothing so urgent for us to do at this meeting, because we are not in charge of making the job listing.
Thank you. Go ahead, Carol.
I don't know if it has to be I don't know if its status is committee or not, and whether or not it has to be posted on the website as when the hearing, when they meet. I think it's a work group, but I don't know. We should look into that. But I'm saying that we should just table it and do it.
Before anybody, yeah, the motion on the floor has been seconded. Did you want to speak on
that? I did. I would like, the motion is to table. I just want to say, I'll just say my thing. I don't know what I'm speaking on. But I think it should be tabled, but I don't think we should say form a committee or anything until we know how the committee's going to work and what's the process. So I think we need to put together, meet with Quincy, you know, and put together, understand what the process is. I mean, we had for 6 months review of program director on our agenda, and we couldn't even figure out, you know, if we approved the documents. So I would like us to have a little more understanding. I think we're not sure this has come up. So my idea would be to just table it, period. And we'll cut back.
Okay, so we have a motion that's been seconded to table this for now. All those in favor?
Mm-hmm. Aye.
So Ramsey's one. And Ramsey's eight. And any opposed? Two opposed. Any abstentions? We have three abstentions. The motion to table it passes.
Motion to adjourn.
Second. All right. Is everybody in favor?
Sharon, did you get the numbers on that?
Bye, Ramses.
Bye, Ramses.
Yeah. Okay, bye, everybody. Bye. Yeah.
Thank you for being there, Ramses. We can't see you, but we know you're there.
Yeah, no, thank you. Thank you. I'd love to see that.
Thank you, guys. I think we
time.
Had overall a good right. meeting. And thank you very much. Two in favor? Two opposed to table. Right. Thank you, everybody. We had good discussion today,
right.
And appreciate
and
your participation.
Off.